I am Mary Walter alongside Vince Colanese this morning. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. And we're blessed to be joined this morning by Congressman Ken Buck. He's from Colorado, and he's also a founding member of the House Freedom Caucus. A lot to talk about with him. But let's kick off first by saying hello. Hello, Congressman.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you've got this book with a really heartwarming title. It's called Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. Would that be true even, you think, for most D.C. residents, that they have no idea how corrupt this thing is?
I think it is true, yeah.
So what are the core findings? I mean, other than the obvious on the title, what's the state of the swamp right now?
Well, there are a lot of things that go on in Congress. I think the public generally has an idea that things are bad. They don't understand the specifics. There are pay-to-play aspects of being a member of a committee. You've got to pay certain dues to the and both parties do this, the National Republican Congressional Committee or the DCCC. There are things about the pay for us.
Sorry, I just to pause on that
sure.
First point. You have to pay dues of some heightened amount to a political organization in order to become a chairman of a committee?
You have to pay dues in order to become a chairman of a committee. You have to pay dues to be a member of certain committees.
That's right. Any lawmakers use other people's money in order to pay those dues?
Well, obviously, yeah. The idea, and it's a lot of, it is a, the dues aren't $10 or $20 or $50 or a few thousand dollars. It's $200,000 for a freshman member of Congress. It's $450,000 for an A committee. One of the more senior committees. If you're going to be a chairman of an A committee, you have to pay $1.2 million in dues.
When did this start, and what is the theory behind this? I mean, you're basically a union member. You have to pay them for the right to work.
Well, you know, I think most Republicans would object to the union member label.
I'm sure they would.
But, you know, I can't tell you when it started. I started a little over 2 years ago, and it was in place then. I'm imagining that it started several decades ago, and the amounts have increased dramatically since. The great thing from the special interest perspective in D.C. is that the higher the dues, the more members need special interest, because you
right.
hold parties, you hold receptions, you invite lobbyists to those receptions, they pay you. You pass that money on to the NRCC or the DCCC, and that's the money that's used to pay your dues. So if you don't have the high dues, you don't need the special interest as much.
That construct, what you just described, suggests that there isn't a clear paper trail from who the donor is to have purchased that committee member's chairmanship, right? So, because they're giving to a political organization, many organizations do, and that money, as we always use in politics, is fungible. So it's actually not going to be clear if, you know, Exxon bought somebody, for instance, or pick your company. I'm not picking just on Exxon, but it's what came to mind. You just pick your company. They could potentially be literally, just as a quid pro quo matter, going in and be like, we're going to give this much money, and it's his chairmanship.
Yeah,
boy, and like, and these guys, by de facto, have to sort of pledge fealty to these companies that are doing this.
So in my mind, there are two kinds of donations. There are ideological donations,
sure.
where people give you money because you are a conservative, you are a liberal, and they want to support you.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that give you money because of transactional issues. And so if someone is giving you money to vote a certain way on a certain bill, I think most Americans, I certainly find it offensive. I think most Americans find that offensive. And that's really what we start to get into with these high dues. When lobbyists show up, they're showing up because the transportation bill is in front of the Transportation Committee, and they want to make sure that there's money in it for their project.
We're talking with Congressman Ken Buck this morning. Mary, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You have a question.
No, but I'm fascinated by this because I knew nothing about this, and it is absolutely jaw-dropping to me, this information. Absolutely jaw-dropping. So, all right, but I can see the problem here. It's great to say we got to get rid of this, but how do you do that when the people who benefit from this are the DNC and the RNC, I mean, the two huge organizations that run the show totally in Washington, pull all the strings? You're never going to take the teeth out of them. So how do you drain that's part of the swamp?
Well, for this specific example, what I've done is I've sent a letter to the Ethics Committee, and I've asked the Ethics Committee to make it unethical for anyone to consider fundraising as a criteria for committee assignment or chairmanship. And we'll see if it happens. Again, the point of this book is that the American people need to rise up and take back their government. It is not good enough just to send people to D.C., let them get comfortable in the swamp,
yes,
and act the way they do.
And they do get comfortable. You talk about that D.C. bubble. And now what we're learning these things, you understand why they get so comfortable doing these things. This to me is phenomenally jaw-dropping, as I said. What else is in the book that would just shock the average person?
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that shocked me was we have a system in place where when we pass a transportation bill or we pass an education bill, we've got to find ways to pay for it. So we, as a Congress, we can either raise taxes or we can cut other programs, but somehow we have to find money to pay for new programs. And those pay-fors, as they're called, are complete lies. We are selling oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve as an example of one thing. The oil that was sold, the average price was $76 a barrel. It was sold for an average price of $48 a barrel. In the federal government's view, that's a profit. And you take that profit and you use to pay for various programs. The problem, one of the problems is obviously that's not a profit. The second problem is that the programs, the pay-fors just don't exist.
Do you have ideas, by the way, this is for the listener, do you have ideas how to drain the swamp? Your chance to talk to Congressman Ken Buck. He's a founding member of the House Freedom Caucus, an author of a new book called Drain the Swamp, and he seems to be working hard on that endeavor. If you've got some ideas or some questions for the congressman, please call in with them. 888-630-9625. We'll be taking your calls and talking more to the congressman in just a moment. But it is now. Let me say this. I want to ask you when we come back. Matt Drudge recently tweeted, "The swamp drains you," meaning President Trump got here and the administration's run into a lot of problems early on. And I want to find out whether or not you're hopeful that President Trump can live up to his promise to drain the swamp here in Washington. All right, it's 7:16 here on WMAL. We're talking about talking with Congressman Ken Buck, who wrote a very interesting new book, Drain the Swamp. He's already provided some real interesting ways about Washington could begin to sort of fix things up. Before we went into the break, Congressman, I was asking you, do you think President Trump has run into some roadblocks in the Drain the Swamp mission that he promised?
I think he definitely has run into roadblocks, and part of it is not getting his administration into place very quickly. The Senate is dragging its feet. He doesn't have the people in place to lead the executive branch. I also think that there is a certain inertia in Washington, D.C. People like the way the town operates, and they're going to try to fight him and keep things going as long as they can.
You know, for the House Freedom Caucus specifically, you've got a bunch of fights coming up. But one is this funding bill, that whether or not the government's going to continue to be funded. Where are you on whether or not sanctuary cities are a deal breaker? Would you like to see sanctuary city funding taken away from cities who don't abide by, you know, federal law?
Sure. I would like to see that. Is it necessary to shut down the government to get that done? Is it necessary to shut down the government before we fund Planned Parenthood? There are a lot of, to me, very important issues that we should negotiate in this debt ceiling increase and budget that's coming up.
Let's go take a call here from Susan in D.C., 888-630-9625. We asked for ways to drain the swamp. Susan calling from D.C. Good morning. You're on Mornings on the Mall. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. Good morning, Congressman. I have a question for you. With all the recent issues coming up involving the intelligence community, in your opinion, does Congress run the intelligence community, or is it really the intelligence community running the legislative branch?
Thanks for your question, Susan.
Well, Congress has oversight authority over the intelligence community. The president has direct responsibility for running the intelligence community. I think that because of the nature of the intelligence community, more than any other agency or set of agencies, they are dealing in highly classified information, secret information, and it's very difficult to have oversight. Most of us don't know what they do. We have an intelligence committee. We give the intelligence committee the opportunity to to do its best, and we trust what they do.
Yeah. John Bethesda actually has an idea on how to drain the swamp. John, good morning. You're on Mornings on the Mall. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Go ahead. What is your idea to drain the swamp?
Well, it always appears to me that there's very few people in the audience, in the Senate, when they're making these speeches and so on. They should do what Alaska does, have quarterly meetings in Washington and have a home office base in their states. That way the lobbyists have 50 places to go rather than a 15-minute walk to go to everybody.
I love that. What do you think about that, Congressman? I think it's a great idea. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, with electronic fund transfers, I'm sure that lobbyists could get the job done one way or the other. But
yeah, sure.
I think that one of the important things that we're actually missing in Washington, D.C. are the relationships to get things done. The best time that I spend is on the floor where I can talk to other members. So often we are meeting with constituents, we're meeting with folks to talk about issues, we are in committee, but we don't have that personal interaction where we can actually solve problems. And so it is helpful to come into D.C.
You talk about a constitutional remedy that is just waiting to be used that could drain the swamp. Okay, if it's that easy, what do we do?
Well, one remedy is a balanced budget amendment. One of the problems we have now is we can spend so much money that there is no real pressure to choose between A and B. And the lobbyists know that, and the special interests know that. And so they're very willing to get Congress to spend more money than it has. That's why we have our $20 trillion of debt right now.
Yeah, if you have an can you imagine if we all had an unlimited budget, how much we would spend that we don't have to?
I think some people do that anyway, and they suffer the consequences for it. And I think Americans generally think that government should probably suffer the consequences too. Curtis, you're in Baltimore listening in. Thank you. And we've got Congressman Ken Buck here.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. I just had a question for the congressman in regards to draining the swamp in Washington, D.C. Don't you think that the best way to drain the swamp would be to put term limits on Congress? That way we don't have to deal with the same people forever.
What do you think?
Thank you for the question, Curtis.
Term limits?
Curtis, I agree with you. It's in the book, and I think it's absolutely essential. I think we have to be smart about not having term limits that are too short, but we can't have people serving for 30 or 40 years and believe they're not going to be affected by the environment we put them in.
You know, one thing that I've always noticed, especially in recent years on the House floor, now that every single debate seems to be like a giant fundraising exercise. Anything that any lawmaker says in public is almost always in the service of fundraising, it seems to be, especially when they're countering the other party. Democrats reflexively going after Republicans, Republicans reflexively going after Democrats, even when they seem to agree. What do you make of sort of just the impact that fundraising for political causes has on actually getting something done in Congress?
Well, we spend a lot of time fundraising, and that's part of the issue, is we don't spend a lot of time or enough time reading bills and understanding issues and finding ways to solve problems. And fundraising really takes a lot of time. Now, the issue you raise is a little bit different, and that is, should we be engaged in fundraising on specific issues? The only way you raise funds is by attracting people, and they're attracted by the issue of the day. You guys create a news cycle, and fundraisers are going to work within that news cycle.
That's true, but hyper-partisanship in the course of like normal business on the floor of the House or Senate is often seen as just a cynical way for these members to take advantage of a national spotlight and raise money, even though, you know, their opposition, even if they agree, for instance, on Trump's infrastructure bill, that they'll just come out and just scream about how terrible Donald Trump is and that they won't support his bill because he's a terrible person, rather than finding commonality.
Yeah, I think hyper-partisanship is part of America, frankly. It's not just part of Congress. Most Americans and most members of Congress are working in the middle and trying to get things done. And we have the people that are the most interested, the people that vote in primaries, the people that give money, the people that give time, and they are on the edges of the political spectrum.
Absolutely. Well, this book, from just talking to you and paging through it, this is like a thriller because there was so much shocking information in this book. It's a great read. Even our very own Mark Levin has endorsed this book. So if you are a Mark Levin fan, you're going to want to get it. It's Drain the Swamp, Congressman Ken Buck, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think and It Is Scarier Than You Know. It really, truly is. Thank you for joining us.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate
Thank
your time.
You very much.